Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Ben Reichle.
Greetings and welcome on board WKOK's live telephone talk show, On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence, subpar host of the show, superlative co-host Ben Reichle is with us. He's a local businessman. He is, one two-hundredth of the local company, of which he's a part of.
One of the links in the chain.
But an important link.
Yeah, well, they're all important.
Right. No, that's true. That's why it's called a chain.
And I take my hats off to our men and women who are out in the warehouses and the yards throughout Pennsylvania, Virginia, Maryland. Now, of course, our location in Richmond, Virginia sort of smiles and laughs a little bit because they get this type of weather.
Now
it's a crisis in a way up here. No, but for all those people that are outside, take heed, take the warnings. I think I've heard them the last 2 days now how bad it's going to be. But you certainly want to, as you and I are, dressed in light clothing. I don't know if there's any time not to not drink in excess when you're having adult beverages. So even when it's hot, don't drink. But you know, any time, drink in moderation. But no, heat is the heat. It's the end of July. It's not quite the dog days of August yet. But we see the weather, which changes. Again, I have a gentleman in the office. I ask him, what's it look like today? He goes, weather all day.
Weather, yes, we're going to have weather. All right, well, welcome on board, everybody. Ben Reichle is a Republican committee person, business person, salesperson extraordinaire. He can sell ice to an Eskimo, as they say. Although that's probably politically incorrect, right? It makes it sound like the Eskimo's
I wouldn't sell ice to an Eskimo unless they needed it.
But if they need freshwater ice.
Yeah, good salespeople solve problems. So the ladies and men and young ladies and young men that are out there in sales, solve a problem, get a solution to that problem and get a sale.
Help some customers out. That's what they are. They're the solution finders for sure. All right. So that is Ben. I'm Mark Lawrence, subpar host of the show. I have not been in this chair for a week.
How's it feel?
A little bit unusual. I don't have the right set of headphones, so I got to get those swapped out. These two nuts.
Are these Joe's new headphones?
Yes.
Are these Bose like Jay-Z's? What are they called? Buds.
Beats.
Beats, yeah. Are these yes. Like $400 headphones I'm wearing now?
Yes. And you know what? They don't sound any better than $2 ones that I'm wearing. So they're all the same. All right. So 8:35 in the morning, we launch into open phones. If there's anything you would like to discuss or talk about, feel free to call us. Our toll-free line is now open. 1-800-795-9565 is the telephone number. That's 1-800-795-9565. Throughout our program, you're welcome to email us at onthemark@wkok.com. And we're glad to say that we have a sponsor, and that's the Sunbury Motor Company. They're a family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street, Sunbury, and Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Find out tons more about them at sunburymotors.com. Do as I've done. Go there. Walk through. They have a half a dozen Ford Rangers there in various colors and styles and super vehicles, great gasoline mileage on those, reasonable prices, high trade-in values for your vehicle. Those salespeople would really know how to solve a transportation solution in your life.
Mm-hmm. No, sure. And also, too, you got the not just buying a new or used car or a pre-owned car. You got the service and support that goes along with it.
Right. Yeah, that's right. That's because they got the quick lane on North 4th Street in Sunbury. They got a body shop in case you ever get hit by a hailstorm. They'll get you fixed up, making sure that...
I'll be there after the show.
Oh, you have one of those dings on your vehicle, right?
Yes.
Oh, that's right. You were in sealant cavets. Said opportunity. Okay. Yeah, lots of people do. Oh, and watch for hidden roof damage because of hail. I just saw a story about that. It's a big deal, I guess.
Been through it also.
Okay, you got it all, man.
It's amazing what happened. I think... I think the folks, and again, these car dealers, I know Sunbury Motors are a sponsor, but there's a number of other car dealers out there, pre-owned, and other facilities. Think about this. The facilities, the grills that are outside the Kohl's and the big box stores that can get dents on them. But when these storms come in, the insurance people are jumping.
Right, and body shops, there was a six-month waiting period at some of the body shops around here because of some of the hail damage. All right, so all of this takes us all the way back around to the quick lane, the body shop, the alignment shop. They got a great big truck shop. It is a big shop, but what they fix there is great big trucks, so they can fix that. And it all boils down to everything ends at the car wash, which they also have one of at the Sunbury Motor Company. So a super service solution. Finding, deal making, and happy motorist people they are, and they would just love to super serve you. Find out at the Sunbury Motor Company, sunburymotors.com. 1-800-795-9565. I've been listening all week, even when I was not here, and I do know that the president's tweets have been a topic of conversation, but that is not the only thing that's going on in the world. We can talk about the heat today. Everybody talks about it, but nobody does anything. So today we're going to look for solutions to the heat. If you'd like to talk about that, bad government continues in so many other different ways in Harrisburg and in Washington, so you can refer to that. I believe the Democrats took up minimum wage yesterday in Washington, D.C., so that's once again on the table. We have the president saying the U.S. shot down an Iranian drone, and Iran saying the president is perfectly mistaken. So one of them must be lying, so we can talk about that. But we have open phones. If you'd like to text us today, 70236 is our text connect number, if you'd like to send us a message in that way. What's the biggest thing that's been on your plate this week?
Biggest thing on my plate this week, probably what's going on in Washington. Probably the tit for tat and the group of congresswomen and the probably the seesawing of coverage by the media. Pretty interesting from what the young Congress folks said in the past to what they're saying now in the president and the president's response and the coverage. But I think the keys right now on really what's going on in Washington when you see behind the scenes is the trade agreement potential with the new NAFTA, the Chinese scenario that's going on. These are all behind the scenes. And Dow at 27,000. Like it or not, the economy's moving. People are benefiting from it.
Who doesn't like it?
Yeah, the false narrative, well, I'll tell you who doesn't like it, is the Democrats and particularly the 2020 presidential contenders, some of them pretenders, that are out there trying to downplay the economy, and it only works for so many people. When you see that middle class and lower middle class wages are moving in a positive way, and the jobs are out there. So I think there's some things quietly going on behind these, you know, when you see the scuttle. Now, also, I will say the press used to take July and August off, you know, for the most part. It was pretty low key. You've been in it long enough. Remember what?
July used to be quiet. We would take, we had a news director one time that took off from July 1st until the 14th. And literally, when he came back, we said, nothing happened.
Yeah.
You didn't miss. We really, literally said you didn't miss anything. But yeah, those days are long gone.
You got to feed the beast. Feed the news beast.
I guess so. And are people that much hungrier, or are we just overfeeding?
I would say a combination. You're right. Okay. I would agree with you on both ends of that.
All right. Well, we got 1-800-795-9565 as our open line. It is a 100% open day, and we will talk to you about anything at all whatsoever that you wish to discuss today. 1-800-795-9565. Tom, what is on your mind? Thanks for calling in today from Sunbury. You're on the mark.
Well, all last week when they were defending Trump about this remarks he said, they kept bringing up Lance Call and Dan and I don't know who all. And they were saying, oh, how great the economy was. The economy is so great, and the stock market is setting all kind of records. And now Ben just said it. How great the economy is. The economy is setting all kind of records. Well, guess what I just saw on the computer the other day? The government, fiscal year, I guess, started for this government October 1st of last year. We are 77%. We have a 77% deficit right now. The amount of money that we need to pay bills and the amount of money that we have coming in, we have a 77% deficit. And Mr. Mnuchin, he says, well, the money just isn't coming in the way we expected it. Well, no, it's not going to be, because trickle-down economics does not work. It never worked, and it never will work. They're going to have to extend the debt. They have to have a vote pretty soon to extend the debt. They have to borrow.
That's a debt ceiling.
$1 trillion. This government is going to have to borrow to keep this government going.
Tom,
you people that call and say this cover how good this government's running, it's not.
Okay.
It's not running good at all.
Tom, can you, in your mind, I think you're on the Democratic side or the center left side. Economically, what is trickle-down economics to you?
What is it? It's they give tax cuts. They give all the tax cuts and all the, so these people at the top have all the money, and then they're supposed to create jobs, and they're supposed to do all these things, and the money's supposed to trickle down, and everybody's supposed to have all this money, but it never works.
Okay.
It never works. The only thing it does is adds to the debt, just like it's doing right now.
Okay, so
we got to borrow $1 trillion. They're going to have to pass a bill. It's coming up here in the next couple weeks or whatever, in a month. They have to pass a bill to increase the debt limit, and they're going to have to borrow $1 trillion to keep this country going.
Well, Tom, that's a fact. Well, I hate to say
it
to you.
It's not made up.
Tom,
Ben,
respond. Go ahead.
Tom,
go ahead,
it's been going on for 10 years, if not longer, and the problem is there has not been a budget. It's been the basically the pass on, these continuing resolutions. So until Congress, the House and the Senate, put a budget together, the president issues a budget. Doesn't matter if it's Clinton, Bush, Obama, Trump. They send budgets to the House and to the Senate, and then we see what happens. We do not have a tax problem from a standpoint of what's just happened and the revenues coming in. We have a spending problem, and until we address that on the federal and state level, even on the local level, even down to your school districts, there's a problem. So the continuing resolutions and the raising of the debt ceiling has been going on for a long time. It's not just within this president. The problem is they do not get a budget that shows the priorities. They just hit a continuing resolution and move on.
All right, Tom, we'll give you the last word on this. Go right ahead.
Well, this president ran, said, I will end the national debt. That's what he said.
He's not done with his eight years yet.
It's higher than it's ever been.
Well, Tom,
it doubled
under President Obama. It doubled under President Obama, very close to doubling from 10.1 million to 19.
The economy crashed when he took over. Because you remember the economy crashed when he took over. He had to come off running for president to vote for bailing out the government.
All right, noted.
Oh, you want to blame it on him? Blame it on
him,
but it's not true.
On him. We're showing the whole picture of it. The blame is on the politicians in Washington.
Right.
That's where the blame is. But don't think this is happening under the Trump administration only. And again, the bullet points you show is exactly what the Democrats are trying to show. Right now, I understand tax revenues are moving forward. The tax breaks are not for the rich. That's right out of the handbook of the Democratic Party right now. It's only for the rich. It's what Warren and Biden and all these people are saying, and it's not true. The tax breaks have helped businesses, yeah. Proportionally, it helps people who pay taxes. Mark, if you make $100 and you pay 10% tax, that's great. If I make $10 and I pay 10% tax, that's mine. So proportionally, you have to look at the overall. But for what we've seen, our economy, the U.S. economy, compared to other economies around the world, we are in a real positive situation. Now, it has to be managed.
So did your taxes go down last year?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mine too.
Yeah.
$1,000.
Yeah. And plus, looking, you have more take-home pay.
And I'm a working-class, middle-class
well,
dog,
so
if there ever was one.
Hey, we're all working-class. And so for these people to call up and make these allegations, it's like, hold it. You got to look at a couple different factors here, and you have to look at the overall picture. It's the old story where, and I think he does such an injustice. He's a good man, but he does such an injustice as Warren Buffett when he says, I pay less in taxes than my secretary.
Right.
Well, now it's his administrative aide. You can't say secretary, I guess.
Well, you can if that's
okay.
Right.
Well,
that's,
whatever. This is his quote,
title.
Though. He said, but what was false is she's paying ordinary income. He's paying capital gains and investment. So for him to put that out, that was real misinformation.
All right. Well, Lance, stand by. It will take more comers. 1-800-795-9565. The nation's ballooning deficit, which is a strictly American governmental problem. President Trump hasn't helped it, but neither has the U.S. Congress or Senate. President Obama wasn't able to do anything. Let's see. President Bush didn't do anything. President Clinton had balanced budgets for a short time, so that was certainly good, but that only lasted while he was in office. But we'll take more comers and more comments. Lance, stand by. 1-800-795-9565 is our open phone.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the mark. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. Our caller Tom got us started talking about the U.S. budget deficit. We can continue that conversation, but it is a very, very, very open phones day. We can talk about the president's tweets and the division that follows and the hypocrisy in the media, which is always an official topic here at WKOK. But we take all comers. 1-800-795-9565. I asked if it was politically correct to talk about selling ice to an Eskimo, and one of our listeners smartly tells us it is not racist. It's just simply ironic. It doesn't indicate or suggest that the Eskimo people are unintelligent. It suggests that the salesperson is excellent.
Well, here's the part about that. Okay, you're an Eskimo, Mark, and I come up to you and I say, Mr. Lawrence, ice salesman, and I said, what type of ice do you use? And you explain, I got this and that. I said, do you have any situations with that, getting that ice? Well, I have to go out and I have to cut it off in big hunks. I have to bring it in. I have to put it in here. Well, if I could put it in packages, and here's your cups you use in cubes that would fit that, would that be something
and
of interest to you?
And deliver it.
Well, again, so how okay. do you look at it? And, it's not making lemonade out of lemons, per se, but good salespeople are astute in asking key questions and bringing the customer to them with questions, and it's open-ended questions. Mark, how do you get your ice now? You know, you explain that. So, when you deal with a good salesperson, it is excellent to deal with.
All right,
1-800. Deal with a bad salesperson, oh boy,
then no deal. Lance, thank you so much for waiting. You are on the mark.
Hey there, guys. Glad to see you back.
Thank you. Great to be back.
Yeah.
I was yelling at the radio earlier this week.
Busman's holiday, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, first off, about the taxes that they really want to, slap on the rich is self-defeating, because the Laffer curve proves it, and that's expressed as the amount of tax revenue realized, expressed as a function of GDP, remains constant. irrespective of the tax rate. In other words, at 17% of GDP, give or take a little bit, everybody gets tired of paying taxes and either just doesn't work anymore, goes underground with what they're doing, or figures out all kinds of loopholes to get out of it.
Well, the key is the loopholes, and some of the loopholes are put in for that reason. And but the other part, and Lance will make your point, though, is look at what taxes do. Look at the effect on them. And years ago, I think it was in the 90s, there was a tax. They were going to tax luxury items. One of them were yachts. Okay. So people with means to buy a yacht say, okay, my yacht's nice enough. I'll just hang on to it for a couple of years. I don't need to pay that tax. Well, what did it do? It put the yacht business on its knees. And what does that do? That puts the workers not just building yachts, but the people in the factory supplying the items for a yacht.
And yacht again, stuff, they call it.
Yeah, right. So, again, people not understanding. You know, that's why I asked the question, what is trickle down? Well, trickle down is natural. That's why on this radio show, Mark promotes local businesses. Well, that money trickles back into the economy locally. So, you know, when people say trickle-down economics don't work, go look at the Laffer curve and understand some basic economics, and you'll see it does work.
Back in the 80s, during the Reagan administration, the amount of tax revenue coming in doubled.
Yeah, and the spending
tripled. And until the end of the term now, the real income adjusted for inflation was up a little over 9%.
Yeah, we all like our income to go up.
For 30 years, you'd have almost 40% more in real purchasing power at the end of your working lifetime than what you had when you started. Now, that's pretty good. But my real reasons for the call was to talk about alcohol and just how cavalierly we treat the stuff. I mean, here we have something that's twice as deadly as the opiates. About four times more deadly than guns. We want to put both of those people out of business, and yet, wow, everywhere you go, including the Cub Scout meeting now, there's alcohol there. Now there's folks there that maybe never would have touched the stuff, that maybe never would have got addicted, but now we have it virtually everywhere.
At the Cub Scout meetings? Cub Scout meetings?
Well, that's what they said there. Mom had wine coolers, so I don't know.
Oh, okay. Well, I can't disagree. But here's the dirty little secret with the sin or vice or sin taxes, is the government has to take it to a point because of the tax revenue. When I say that, now you look at cigarettes. You know, why in the world would cigarettes be legal if you look at what they've done? Again, why in the world would alcohol be legal if you look at the cost to society? However, in an open society of some degree, we have what we have. So, you know, I would say you hope people moderately do the vices and the sins, meaning that they gamble, not with their head, not with their heart. If you're going to consume adult beverages, you do it responsibly. So again, look at what the government's getting from the sins or the vices, and then you'll see where the Catch-22 situation comes in, I believe.
I think, well, they're ready to usurp the Second Amendment for 300 murders, and that's how many people are killed by drunk drivers in about 30 days.
Well, no, there is a policy.
I mean, it's crazy. So,
look at the tax revenue on alcohol compared to the tax revenue on ammo and guns.
Oh, yeah. If you take all the people who were killed in mass shootings in 20 years, it adds up to 883. And if you take 3,500 a year killed on the highway by drunks over the same period, it's 70,000.
And it's not just drunk. It's not just alcohol. It's prescription. It's the drugs and the medication. And, you know, they don't report a whole lot on what's going
distraction.
On.
Distraction.
Well, distraction as well. But they don't report a whole lot what's happened in Colorado with the driving incidents. And that's because of the tax revenue on the vice or the sin.
It would be great if a lot of people would give up alcohol and take up marijuana. It would save a lot of lives. A lot of lives.
Well, as long as they're not driving either way.
Oh, yeah. Well, see, the trouble is they'll mix it, and then we will have problems. But what you're going to have is fewer fatal crashes, maybe a lot more fender benders, but insofar as wanting to get out there.
Yeah, but
really,
but here's the point on marijuana, too, that, again, you know, people might not be realizing it. This isn't 1970s marijuana. The you know, the percentages in the 70s were 1, 2, maybe 3%. I mean, what was the names came out for the Hawaiian stuff that had more you know, percentage in it. Now you're up to 18, 19, 20%. This is marijuana on steroids, and people maybe aren't understanding that whole premise either.
Okay, well, our governor, he said that he wasn't going to put marijuana use on the background checks, because you can't buy a gun if you're a user of medical now. But he wants to make it so that it doesn't go on your background check. I thought that was really a fly in the face.
We gotta go. There's a WKOK Sunbury.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Ben Reichle.
Greetings and welcome back to the WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show, On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence. Ben Reichle is here. Mr. Rub Center is so spectacularly fabulous this week, we just can't get over it. Takes fantastic care of Sunrise, helps resolve computer dilemmas, archives the program, took care of On the Mark in an even greater way when I took a day or two off this week and was out of the building yesterday. So we really appreciate Rub Center. He is the star of the show. I just sit here yakking all day, but he does the hard work, so we very much appreciate that. On the Mark, sponsor of the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. Our telephone number, that's 1-800-795-9565. And so far, we talked a tiny little bit about the heat. We have talked about the Dow Industrials going high. Higher and higher and higher, and the economy going higher, but the U.S. budget deficit going higher and higher and higher. One of our good listeners, Tom, I would have a question. What's wrong with having a big deficit? Let's hear that enumerated. If we have a huge deficit, what's the dilemma? Remember, we had that Professor Steve Stamos here from Bucknell mm-hmm. University. He said, don't worry about it. You can pay it off as time goes on, and it does not hurt as long as the money's being used to push your country forward.
Controlled debt. You want controlled debt.
Well, is that? I don't know that we have that.
Well, I'm not saying we do either. But again, look at the revenues coming in at the state and federal levels, and look at our expenses.
All right. So that's on the plate. If we want to talk about the U.S. budget deficit, I think we're up about $22 trillion or so. That's just a couple. If you and I kick in a couple of two, $3 mm-hmm. over the next couple of years, we could pay that off.
$70,000 a person.
No, is that it?
I don't know if that's all citizens, and that also includes some non-citizens in that. But about $77,000. We'll just take a year off and work for the government.
All right. Okay. U.S. budget deficit popped up. Alcohol and the dangers of alcohol and how disproportionately dangerous alcohol is compared to other things that we talk about continually. We talk about shootings, but they're very rare, or they used to be rare, but they're certainly not as deadly as things related to alcohol, drugs. And when it comes to driving, alcohol, drugs, and distraction are the three Ds, are the things that really hurt us there. Drunk. Drugged and distraction, the three Ds are killing us. It's the other 3D. So, but it is open phone, so we can talk about anything you wish. We have an email that relates to Restore PA, the governor's idea of spending money that's seized from the U.S. Pennsylvania's natural gas industry, so we can talk about that. On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. You are welcome welcome to email us at onthemark@wkok.com, and you can text us at 70236. Some brief news headlines. The big weekend Northumberland-Sunbury go-around starts today at noon. Folks traveling from Sunbury to Northumberland on the Priestley Bridge will have to go to Shamokin Dam to get to Sunbury. Likewise, individuals coming from Sunbury towards Northumberland will have to go through Shamokin Dam when the King Street Rail Crossing closes today at noon. It'll be closed for about 72 hours, says PennDOT. PennDOT and the North Shore Railroad are closing the crossing at noon so crews can replace the Route 147 rail crossing at King Street between the Priestley Bridge and Priestley Avenue. And PennDOT estimates they'll reopen the crossing by noon on Monday, maybe a little bit earlier if the hard workers out in the heat do okay.
So if you're going to the big event at the Social Club this weekend,
then you get the worst of it.
You have to get,
if you're in Norrie, you got to go all the way around to Shamokin Dam to get there, and you got to go all the way to Shamokin Dam to get back. What you should do is ride your bike or get a boat. But
that's true. Yeah, yeah. Some entrepreneurs maybe will set up a little ferry system there at the Little League yard or the baseball field there.
Charge a couple bucks.
Yeah.
PUC, but till the PUC catches up to you, the weekend will be over. It'll be done.
Yeah. Hey, so. It's like selling lemonade, right? You don't need a permit for the 1 or 2 days you're doing it.
Right. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. After 2 years of hard work and fundraising, everybody's playground is open thanks to the Andy Russell Charitable Foundation and Andy Russell and hundreds of other people and players.
To them and to their foundation, we owe a tremendous debt of gratitude. The amount of money that they have put in to this playground, it is substantial. They have paid all of their own expenses when they came up here, and they have been here many, many times, and sometimes when most people don't know they're here.
That is, of course, Fritz Heinemann, president of the Central Pennsylvania chapter of the Andy Russell Foundation, at that function yesterday. The ribbon cutting, you can see the entire event on the WKOK Facebook page. The Pennsylvania Attorney General has announced a partnership that will target straw purchases of guns in Philadelphia and educate women about the dangers of the illegal practice of straw purchasers. A cottage industry popped up with women buying handguns for future sale to other individuals. The straw purchase is when someone without a criminal record buys a gun for somebody who cannot legally purchase one. Nationwide, women make up 80% of straw purchasers. The State Attorney General Josh Shapiro announced Thursday his office is giving a $123,000 grant to a Boston-based nonprofit offering education and awareness campaigns to help women say no to straw purchase to guns. Operation Lipstick says their work has helped reduce gun crimes by women in Boston. The nonprofit will partner with local violence prevention group Mothers in Charge. Shapiro says the Pennsylvania's Gun Violence Task Force opens an average of 25 straw purchasing cases per month. And soon there will be no manholes in Berkeley, California. City workers will drop into maintenance holes instead. Nothing will be man-made in the liberal city, but human-made. And students at the University of California, Berkeley, will join collegiate Greek systems residences rather than fraternities and sororities. Berkeley leaders voted unanimously this week to replace the 40 gender-specific words in the city code with gender-neutral terms, an effort to be more inclusive. It's drawing praise and scorn. That means manpower will become human effort or workforce, while masculine and feminine pronouns like she, her, he, and him will be replaced by they and them. According to the measure approved Tuesday by the City Council, the Bay Area city is known for its long history of progressive politics. Regal Robinson, who graduated from UC Berkeley last year and at 23 is the youngest member of the City Council, says it was time to change a municipal code that makes it sound like men are the only ones that exist in entire industries, or that men are the only ones on city government. Quote, a society and our cultures become more aware about issues of gender identity and gender expression. It's important that our laws reflect that, unquote, he said. Women and non-binary people who are just as deserving of accurate representation.
God bless the youth. Is it youth or future?
You go down in a maintenance hole and fix the wires down there or the pipes or whatever.
And it'll be 90%, 95%, almost 99% around the country. It will be males going down those holes.
Oh.
But reality sometimes misses out. But it's great to be young. However, what experiences you have in life up to the point of 23, hopefully you have things that can add value to the city council. It's just like anything else. You want involvement of all ages, genders, ethnicities, that's fine. But have some experiences in your life that can help whatever cause you're on. If you're on a church board, or if you're on a charitable community board, you know, whatever you're on, hopefully you have some life experience that can help that board.
1-800-795-9565. We have open phones. We've talked about a wide range of topics. We have not talked about the president's tweets. We've kind of tried to cover some other things that have been in the news and have been talked about, so we can discuss that. One of our listeners sends us a note that says, reading the news this morning, it looks like our state government wants another new tax to bring broadband to the entire state. Most areas have broadband available, and it's up to the customer to pay for it if they want it. Broadband, or high-speed internet, is provided by private companies and is placed where it is financially feasible for them to do so. They do not run a line for 20 miles to one or two customers. For those people at the end of that line, that one or two customers, there are other options. As for businesses, most perform due diligence and make sure that their facilities are in place. I'll add a sentence there. Make sure they're in a place where there is high-speed internet. The end of my add-on. And once again, this is a way for the many to pay for a few. Well, the governor likens it to sort of rural electrification. That really raises up folks if they can get high-speed internet in rural areas.
We should look at high-speed internet. Now, do you get it? Do you get it with infrastructure that's in the ground or on wires, or do you get it
through
the cloud or satellite? And the other part is the way the governor wants to do this, and this is right out of the political handbook. Republicans and Democrats both do it, but it's this for that. So here's the carrot the governor's hanging out, saying, okay, you want broadband? Well, here's what I want. I want a severance tax on the gas industry. And we're seeing that he's trying to hang his hat and going every direction to try to get the severance tax. And the severance tax, A, is not needed, and B, will stifle some of the growth and some of the things we're seeing going on because of the way our business tax is already. So, you know, and then if somebody calls up here, fine, they don't pay this in Texas or Wyoming or X or Y, that's great. Look at our business tax and look at Pennsylvania
corporate
state
net income
tax.
Corporate income tax aside, plus we have an impact fee, so they do pay some fees.
The impact fee drives the Republicans in the Southeast, which there isn't a whole lot anymore left, but it drives Republicans out of the impact area crazy because they don't get money. And their constituents go, we want money. So, the Democrats on one side, but there's the other side that gets irritated too.
All right. So that's one topic: high-speed internet. The governor's Restore PA. Joe and I did the math and figured out he's basically got the funding from Restore PA spent three times over because he's gone to every ailing, slowed down, non-internet driven, crumbling infrastructure place in the whole state and said, look, we'll fix this up if you approve the severance tax. You know, he's been to the marina saying, you know, that'll be fixed up. Well, he sent Cindy Dunn, but same thing, saying, you know, approve, restore PA, we'll fix the marina. We'll extend the high-speed internet if you do this. They said that they'd do another agency that'll take good care of us in some other way.
But what do you think? Personally, it's about time the marina probably is just taken out. Because it's a
demolition,
useless building. Sure. Just take it out and then let something come back, or just let the concrete slab there. It's times because nothing's happening with it, and it's going to deteriorate anyway.
Well, I think it's probably past the point of no return. I know they put new lipstick on it, as they say. They painted it two, 3 years ago. All right, Paul's been very patiently standing by. We are enjoying an open phones day. We are not talking about the president's tweets at a moment. We can, but so far nobody's brought it up. Paul, you're on the mark.
Okay, gentlemen, finances and taxes seems to be a good subject. Let me ask you, what caused the Depression in 1929 that shut the government down?
I don't think there was one direct cause, but you can look at
The government was shut down?
No, you can look at our... You're talking about the stock market crash, correct?
I'm talking... Well, the nation came to a standstill.
Well, part of the equation was our tie with the dollar to the gold standard, but there's other parts of that equation that happened also.
What could it have been? Credit that people were now buying without money, but by credit. But when the time came to pay their bills, there was no money to pay the credit.
Well, yeah, that's the stock market scenario, that people were way over their skis, and when the call came, they couldn't pay. But also, the government, the gold standard, our tie to the dollar, to the gold standard, and some other things that added into the Depression, and then some political scenarios that went on caused the furthering of the Depression through the 30s.
But there was one person that the government went to borrow money. He was the only person that could bail the government out, and that was J.P. Morgan.
Yeah. Yeah. When the government's knocking on your door and they want a loan, you're in high cotton. You're probably sitting pretty.
Well, this is the whole thing that you've got right now. You have people that are buying on credit cards, and they don't have the money to buy it with cash, but they still have the bills coming in, and if they don't have the money to pay the bills, then what happens?
You know what, Paul? I'd have to go back to April or May when I saw numbers, and I don't know if it was the Wall Street Journal. There's always the Michigan report on the consumer confidence, but I believe consumer debt has been trending down in the last year, meaning that there's more disposable income, people are paying down their debt, and particularly this started after the recession in 08-09, that people started saving more and spending a bit less. But I'd have to check those numbers.
Yeah, these are people that were upside down and decided never again. Mm-hmm. Plus Dave Ramsey took over the radio and said, hey, living debt-free is the way to be.
But I thought it was April or May that report came out.
All right. Thank you so much, Paul. Appreciate the call. Cindy, you're on the mark. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning, gentlemen. Listen, I have looked at the reports about the impact fee distribution. It's available on the PUC website for anyone that's interested. And Philadelphia, which is a county as well as a city, gets $1 million a year.
What?
$1 million. Mm-hmm. There isn't a single well in that place, but they get $1 million a year right off the top out of the impact fee.
No,
it's the largest amount of money given to any government in the state out of the impact fee.
Yeah, and then there's see what DEP gets, and you see where it goes to within the organizations.
Oh, yeah.
No, the impact fee is very positive because where the impact is, a majority of the money, when I say, is it
That's
60
exactly
or 70%,
right.
goes where
right.
it is to help the impact. But they had to put some cookies out for the other folks so they would somewhat be happy, but they're not satisfied with that. They don't want cookies. They
right.
want the whole cake.
Yes, they do. That's a good description, Ben. It actually goes to rural Pennsylvania. The bulk of the money is distributed across rural communities in rural Pennsylvania. God forbid they should get something.
I agree.
Right? God forbid.
Which is
where the trucks are,
yes.
and where the wells are, and where the pipelines are being put. And it's just absurd to me, this whole discussion about the impact fee. Rendell tried and tried to get the impact fee higher. He tried to put this severance tax on. And you know what happened? His own Democrats from the Pittsburgh area, south of Pittsburgh is another area where there's a lot of drilling, and they would not back it. And so it failed because he couldn't get the Democrats to unite behind doing it.
And Cindy,
Philadelphia gets a big amount of money.
Yeah, and here's the scenario with that. You look at Republicans in the Southeast, and you look at Democrats in the Southwest. So, what takes the lead here? Economics for their constituents. So, even the Democrats out west, which might Western Pennsylvania might be a little more blue dogish, you hope, more
yes.
moderate.
Mm-hmm.
They see the benefits. So you got the Republicans who are a little more rhino-ish in the southeast of Pennsylvania. They're saying, hold it, we're not getting enough of this. And you see the greed. But I agree with you. God forbid rural Pennsylvania would have something that the urban and suburban areas can't get a hold of or can't get as much of.
Right, I agree. So the idea that, you know, every county gets money, every county. My county, Snyder County, gets money. We have no wealth, nothing to do with it, but we still get money every year, every county.
But we have impact, though. Union Snyder County, our area, does have impact from the transportation side of it.
Yeah, but it's good impact.
Well, no, it's positive. But anyway, but you're right, though. So 67 counties get it, except the bulk of it goes to where it's happening. You know, that's
yes.
a little bit of common sense.
What?
Legislation.
And from Harrisburg. That's shocking. All right. Thank you so much, Cindy.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thanks for calling in. 1-800-795-9565. Shockingly good decisions from Harrisburg. The impact fee is the premise that's been stated. Maybe you have an idea on that. Do you like the Restore PA, where we take money that is, we would borrow $300 billion and then pay it off with a new severance tax over the years? The bond issue would be taken. It would be used to fix up a bazillion things around the state, and then the severance tax would be imposed on natural gas drillers, and they would have to pay that, and that would be used to pay back those bonds. So do you think that's a good idea? It would fund Governor Wolf's Restore PA initiative, and he's sent all of his henchmen around, henchmen and women, his hench people around the state to talk about different projects that would be funded if only that impact fee were approved. Earlier, we talked about the U.S. budget deficit. It just keeps going higher. Some people say that doesn't really hurt us too much. So we can talk about that. We can talk about the president's tweet. The president has backed down a little bit on the send her home chance that came from his rally after, I guess, Ivanka and his wife said that that's a terrible thing to stop that dad or honey. And so he backed down on that yesterday. So we had a lot of conversation about that. I can't believe that there'd be anything not said about it. But if you have an opinion, you want to weigh in on that, 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number, 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to the WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. It is precisely 9:30 in the morning, so thank you so much for joining us. We talked at great length this week about the president's tweets. What's your view? He's backing down on this now, saying that he doesn't like the sender home chant.
The narrative, the overall narrative about the tweets, were not negative. The details, now we're getting into this, yeah, unfortunate. It didn't need to. He could have made his point in a better way.
Why is he doing this? Like some kind of big distraction or something? So we stop worrying about the immigration issue or other
things? The immigration issue is part of it. But here's the thing. This president, fights back. Right, wrong, or indifferent, he fights back. So I think he has probably maybe 4 to 5 categories of the way he looks at people. And this is just my opinion. Friends, allies, adversaries, enemies, and maybe a small portion of others. And if you notice, the president usually is counterpunching after there's been a punch thrown, meaning, let's say, a tweet, a verbal punch, media, whatever that would be. And parts, I mean, I remember in the 60s, I was very young, in the 70s, I remember there was the America Love It or Leave It. There were bumper stickers.
Oh, sure. Well, and you still see it a little bit.
There were bumper stickers. However, this president is very patriotic, very pro-U.S., very pro in the military of the U.S., and you know, people want to paint that as nationalism. Now it's identity politics. Now it's become white nationalism. Well, you know what? I look at this. I guess white must not be a color, because I guess we're all of color. You know, when you say people of color, I'm thinking, okay, which person is not of a color?
It's non-white.
Well, okay. So if you want to look at that, but when the president fights back, he is either out in front on this, or setting it up to be out in front, setting, you might say, the narrative up, so he's out in front of it. And you know, if you're going to condemn the president, you better look at the four congresswomen and what they've said. And I think Presley out of Massachusetts.
So they're just as bad as he is.
Well, I'm going to say just as bad, but look at both sides of this and see what they're saying. But look at Presley from Massachusetts. She seems to be the fourth of the three. The other three get a lot more attention. But her point was, if you're a Latino, if you're black, you need to be speaking with one. You need to be on our side, speaking with us. You can't have a different. So that monolithic attitude, and you know, with women. So if you're a woman, you should have to do this, that we see the left and the Democrats telling folks. So
a conservative Republican black person would be something she wouldn't agree with.
Scares the left and the media to death. Look at Bob Johnson, who came out and spoke, was it 2 weeks ago? Look what he talked about.
Who's that?
He was the first black billionaire in the United States. BET, he owned Black Entertainment Network, which I guess there's no white entertainment network.
Every channel's white entertainment.
Okay, is that what it is then? Okay, well, I'll have that. But anyway, he came back and he talked about the positives of this administration and what it's doing, particularly for the minorities. And he gets lambasted. And you're thinking to yourself, going, hold it. Aren't there opinions? And don't people bring to the discussions their opinions and their information?
One of our listeners sends us a note on this topic. It says, as good as the economy is being touted, one low point, African-American homeownership is now at a 50-year low. Owning a home is a major factor when evaluating one's wealth. Is everyone reaping the rewards of this good economy?
I think I would say this to Dick, since he signed it, that
yep.
Look at, I think it was yesterday, or was it Wednesday's Wall Street Journal? And I think it was yesterday, it talked about home ownership overall. Now, where home ownership's growing is in the Latino community, but it is stagnant in the black community. And it's also within the millennials. It's lower. So it's the interest rates. Lower interest rates aren't always going to dictate increase in home ownership. So I would say yes to a point. His email to the point of the black population is, but there's others that are growing. But home ownership on its own is averaging out.
Steve Kushiloff was here earlier this week, and he said he's tired of the so what about? So what about? And whenever you talk about the U.S. economy is going up, so what about the black home ownership? That is currently flat. Or you say let's see, what else? Blacks have made more progress in the U.S., so what about? And they would, you know, talk about.
Well, I
think race, if you're going to inject that in,
the identity
sort
part
of the
economics,
of the
I would agree. But Mark, let's say there's 10, just for sake of discussion, there's 10 pieces of the economy.
10 elements. Okay,
yeah.
This is a 10-legged footstool.
Yes. And we have 9, or let's say 7 that are positive. Let's say they're you know, out of those little things between 1 and 10, they're at 8s or 9.
So what about?
Then there's 2 of them. But what about if those 2 of them, they're not 0, but they're 2. So they're not as good as the other parts, but they're still okay. Meaning that each segment, each of the 10 segments have 10 pieces. Now, if you're really doing good, you're at 7 or 8 in those. And let's say 7 or 8 of those are positive, but there's 2 of them that are down to 2s or 3s. Or maybe 1 might be a negative. So when you put the whole economy together, Does that make it better? So let's compare.
The 10-legged stool can stand on seven legs.
Yeah, let's compare it to a football team coming up here this fall. They have 10 games, and they win 8 of them. And they win by two touchdowns, and they lose the ones by 2 points. But they played well enough to get into the playoffs.
Sort of like Penn State
going
10 years ago.
So is that a positive? I agree. The so what abouts and what ifs you can put those. We have a very positive economy, but remember the media for the most part does not want the president to have a lot of positives, and we've seen that.
All right, we're talking about the U.S. economy. Seven legs of the 10-legged stool are doing fabulously. Two are not as positive, and one is negative. Home ownership, African-American economic growth, remarkably positive, as near as I can tell by most standards, but black home ownership still flat or declining. So why could that be? We talk about race in America. Is equality and opportunity? You know, we had the reparations conversation. So if you want to talk about opportunity or equality, that's a factor in there. So where are we at on that? Let's take this quick break. We got to do it. We mentioned the president's tweets, so we open that floodgate mm-hmm. again. But it's all we've talked about all
week. Which ones?
So, we have open phones right now. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. I will be right back. KOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark, the busiest and most patient man in the world. He's been yelling at the radio all week, even calling a couple times.
Oh, boy.
Harry's on the line. Good morning, sir. Go right ahead.
Hey, good morning, guys. You know, it's funny when you talk about racism, it's funny how perceptions can change of it, too. Like, and I'll give you two examples right now. One is when the Affordable Care Act, which is a contradiction in terms, but when Obamacare started, we were told that if you did not buy it, you would be fined. However, now you have everybody who wants to take everybody who's coming into the country, and especially illegally, including illegals, to be insured for free. And the other one is you hear everybody say these dreamers, which everybody has dreams anyhow, should not be held responsible for the crimes of their parents or ancestors. And yet, I'm supposed to pay reparations because one of my ancestors in the 1800s may have had slaves. Now, when you talk like that, that hurts the cause of eradicating racism, which you can't do anyhow, because you can't erase hatred or ignorance from people, as much as we'd like to. But when you have things like that come up, that leads to more hard feelings and more issues with people feeling racist feelings, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
But Harry, look, I always follow the money or look at the groups who want the money. So let's jump back to your point about the border. So illegals are coming in, they want to get free health care. Who wants to do that? The Democrats and progressives. And the point going back to Lyndon Johnson, you know, when he signed it, he said, you know, daggummit, if we keep giving them free stuff, they'll keep voting for us. And you know, so, and there's something to be said for that.
That's a direct quote.
Well, it's a paraphrase. Well, I don't have the bourbon here in front of me to be drinking while I'm saying it. You know, so you look at that. And your point about reparations, again, who's promoting that? And whose vote do they want? Mark said something earlier about a black conservative, a brown conservative, a Asian conservative, you know, whatever. That scares the death out of some of these minorities because the minorities want the monolithic vote, or the progressives want the monolithic vote from the minorities.
Well, exactly, but that's my point. We look in this country, those who are, because we do not have elected leaders, we have elected officials. I know I've said that ad nauseum, but they are looking to keep the stereotypes going. And they're not looking for a way to ease racist feelings or ease racial tensions. They're looking to make them worse. And that is, if you're supposed to feel guilty because somebody that may have been related to you that you never even heard of 200 years ago, did something wrong. That's kind of a, you know what, that's maybe a flaw in my character, but I don't have that in me.
Well, you do have a few character flaws, Harry. Let's just get that right out in the open. No, I'm just kidding. Because I know you, I think we can joshle a little bit here. But I don't think anybody wants you to feel guilty when they ask for reparations. I think what they want you to do is to think about, as the idea of delivering equality and opportunity is, what, nearly equal for everybody in the entire U.S. now, there are still individuals who are left behind. And so for those individuals who are left behind and aren't able to or can't or the economy won't allow or, you know, the way our society is set up or our neighborhoods or our growth, that doesn't allow individuals to move forward. Now, I know you can do like... who's the guy that ran for president? Now his name escapes me. Now he's black and he's housing and urban development. Now his name escapes me.
Ben Carson.
Right. Thank you. Right. You can do as he did and pull yourself up by the bootstraps. But he had mentors. He talks about them all the time. You know, he had people to look up to, and he said, if nothing else, I just imitated the smartest people that I knew.
But everybody had.
You know what the problem there, Mark, is that. And I guess you're right. You know, there are people that haven't been able to come along. I mean, that's a fact. But you know, a lot of times that happens because somebody is so used to getting the handout that they don't look for the hand up. And I look, when you think back, when Susquehanna a few years ago bought, what was it called? The development there where they put in
Pine Meadows, yeah.
Pine Meadows, thank you. That was always supposed to be, that type of housing project was always supposed to be set up to be a bridge to help somebody move onward and upward. They had people who had been in there that were like fourth and fifth generation that were never looking to move.
That's the whole point, though, Harry. That's the whole point. If you give them subsidized or free stuff, you'll get their vote.
Because that's the fault with saying the reparations, you know, where you should feel like we have to help somebody come up. We can't worry about what happened 200 years ago. We have to worry about what's happening now and make sure we're doing the right thing.
Right.
Making somebody pay for something that happened 200 years ago, that's like urinating in the ocean to raise the tide. It's not going to help.
Okay. Noted. Mm-hmm. Especially if you're in the ocean, then it won't have any impact at all whatsoever, because your mass will go down at the same time the oceans goes up.
Yep.
And the water will get warmer, though. All right. Thank you so much, Harry. On that auspicious note, we got to go. Thank you, sir.
And that could be a rising warm tide of salt boats.
The red tide.
Yeah.
Or a yellow tide. All right. One of our listeners sends a note. I guess it's all right there. What's that say? Can you read that?
There is more than black people being left behind. Millions of white men and women are left behind. I'm sick of hearing all this all the time. Give me a break. So the key is, I think one of the things that you look at is, you know, you're saying, what country other than the United States in the masses that we've done has created the safety nets? There's other countries that have, but you look at the total, what we take in immigration, legal immigration, what we take in illegal immigration, but then what we set up government-wise as safety nets. Now, there's other countries that do it, but not in all-encompassing how we have it. So you have welfare, hopefully welfare short-term to work fair, but look what happened under LBJ's Great Society. The Democrats thought this was the greatest thing in the world, and it was going to help people. What it did was it stagnated the black community. The handouts were not hand-ups. I mean, they didn't help. It's sad. But what I understand, and this would have to be researched a little bit more, but I think it was Bob Johnson, BET, in his interview, he was talking about supposedly there was a half dozen, maybe a little bit more, people who were slaves that were millionaires when they passed away in the late early 1900s. So, you know, there's ingenuity out there for people. What other country gives you the opportunities the United States does? You know, why people are coming here for whatever reasons they choose to, but the opportunities are here. The opportunities are out there. You can go get them. The results aren't guaranteed, but you have a lot of opportunities out there to get results. And, you know, look at the stories. Look at the stories of people of all color. You know, I guess we'll include white people in that color. Look at Colonel Sanders. I believe in his late 50s, early 60s, he went through a bankruptcy and then started Kentucky Fried Chicken.
He's a legend of success.
Yeah, look how he comes out. Yeah, just listen, was it 11 o'clock on Sundays? On
Legends of Success with John Resnick.
John Resnick. And listen to those stories about people who have made it and their struggles.
They all have
to
something
make
in
it.
Common. They give generously. Well, another thing they have in common is
very
that
philanthropic.
Right, absolutely. And they all have bankruptcies in their past, just about. Malcolm Forbes Jr. does not, but the rest of them do. All right, we'll take a quickie break. We have deliberately today not talked about the president's tweets and this idea of send her home and all that sort of thing. And we can continue that with the last couple of minutes of the show. It is open phones. Anything on your mind today? It could be a national topic, maybe a local topic. There's a lot of things popping up locally. A lot of people are going to be out enjoying the heat tomorrow during hops. Vines and Wines, and during the Danville Heritage Festival.
You got Seals Grove, Danville, and as we talked about, at the evening has over at the Social Club in the Island Summary. But yeah, Hops, Vines, and Distillery. They added it a little bit more. But
distilleries.
Plenty of trees. There'll be plenty of trees.
And grass.
Yeah, there's a lot down there where they moved it up to the University Avenue, so that would be in Danville. Well, you know what? If you're having Ironman Festival, or is it the Iron Festival?
Mm-hmm. Okay. No, Danville Heritage Festival.
I'm sorry, Heritage Festival, based on iron, right?
That's a factor.
You better have heat to make iron.
And lots of it. Yeah, they probably won't run the mock iron furnace this weekend.
Well, they could just put some metal out there and
it'll melt.
And let it start beating on it.
1-800-795-9565. Wrap us up with your topic on our open phones of Friday. We are only talking today. Our only topic has been race, racism, reparations, President Trump, send her back, alcohol, the deficit, the Dow Industrial, the trade deficit, and the heat. So if you'd like to weigh in on one of those topics, which one of our listeners does, and send us a note, you can call us immediately. We got four open lines right now. 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com, or you can do as no one has done. Text us at 70236.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the mark, on the topic of the severance tax, one of our listeners wisely sends us a note saying the companies don't pay the severance tax. In the end, it is the homeowner. Gas companies will tell you that they do not pass that on to the rate payers. They say that that is absorbed by the companies. But, you know, I think... eventually, if the company stops being able to stay in the black, well, the folks are going to pay. But the gas companies actually say that individuals pay, or that they pay it, not...
Well, you look at the energy market, natural gas pricing is way down. You're seeing that, especially
it's recovering,
in Texas.
Though, correct?
Yeah, it's coming up, okay. But in Texas, so, you know, they have a problem in Texas is they're flaring off a lot of gas. Instead of putting it in the pipelines, they don't have the pipelines, plus the gas prices, or natural gas prices. And then, you look at the positive here, America is its own energy. We're exporting energy now. So that you know, the stuff going on in Iran at the with the drones and all this stuff, the gas prices were probably up in the past at $80 to $100. We're still seeing them stable at around $60. So America's independence, energy independence particularly, under the Trump administration, has been a very positive thing around the world. meaning it this way, that now our allies can depend on us for energy. They don't have to go to people, quote unquote, like Germany
our
is trying
enemy.
To do.
Oh, okay. Dan, you're on the mark. Thanks for being patient. Go right ahead.
Hey, good morning, guys. Why, Mark, what I'm going to say don't pertain to you or your host, but I have no clue to the reason why a lot of people in broadcasting and cable news and cable programs never have a positive view on the great economy we have right now. They fail to mention it. They're not happy about it. They say it has nothing to do with their life. All they bring up is a negative effect, anything they can find negative to talk about, but they never seem happy about the great economy we're going into. So that's my, I have no clue to the reason why they talk like that or don't talk about it. So
well,
I'm
Dan, here's
off
here's,
the air,
here's the
give
clue.
You guys a couple minutes to talk about it.
All right.
Hey, thanks for the good program today. You guys have a good weekend.
Thank you very much, Thang. Thanks for calling in earlier this week, Dan.
Well,
go ahead.
Here's the clue. It's the Trump derangement syndrome that the media does have. Now, report on the economy. CNBC is not too bad because they're trying to do the economic numbers. Fox Business News, economic numbers. Bloomberg, economic numbers. You watch the Bloomberg International report or the BBC, you get, you know, some international numbers. But, you know, the animosity from most of the media towards this administration, you see it. And they can't help themselves. And, you know, boy, I hate to say it, part of the media is right in the, or they're directing the Democratic Party of the United States anymore. I mean, it's getting that ridiculous. So, Dan, why they don't report on the positives? They don't want this administration, particularly this president, to have any successes.
They focus on the so what about.
Seems to. And, you know, the credibility of the press is going down. I mean, you watch Meet the Press, it is a shell of what it used to be. Tim Russert rolling over in his grave. It's a shell. I mean, it's just horrendous. But the MSNBCs, the CNNs, the Foxes, you watch some of that media and you're wondering, are these people reporting on the same story? I just heard three different versions of this story. And I will say this, I'll give at least the Fox people try to bring on some opposite views to at least have a discussion. So we'll see. But hey, baseball season, your Cubs are still number one. Phillies are trying to stay in it. So we're in the sort of that midway point after the All-Star game. We'll have to see what happens. But what's coming fast? College, high school, and pro football.
If we're talking about it, we have a big meeting Monday morning. Talk about fall sports. Thank you so much for coming in, Ben. You're a super-duper volunteer. We appreciate that. This is News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.